From historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, this is The Seminary Explores. Conversations about people, politics, theology, and life with your host, Dr. Nelson Strobert.
Welcome to The Seminary Explores. My name is Nelson Strobert, and today my guests are Dr. Brooke Schramm, Kraft Professor of Biblical Studies at the Lutheran Theological Seminary here at Gettysburg, and Dr. Kiersey Sterner, Professor of Reformation Church History, Director of the Institute of Luther Studies at the Lutheran Theological Seminary here at Gettysburg, as well as a docent at the University of Helsinki in Finland. Welcome to the Seminary Explorers, except you're not strangers since you're colleagues on the faculty here. But the reason for coming together for this podcast is to talk about your recent book, your recent publication, Martin Luther, the Bible, and the Jewish People, a Reader. So I'm going to get right into it and ask, what prompted you two to collaborate, one as a biblical scholar and the other as a Reformation historian, to venture on with this book project?
Yeah, great question. I think I'll let Kiersey lead off with it, and then I can add on.
Well, I teach Luther and Reformation every year, and then when I had a chance to co-teach with my colleague, the Old Testament professor, on the topic of Luther and the Old Testament, Luther and the Jews, we realized that there really is a need for a textbook that is interdisciplinary and
yes.
that approaches this very difficult issue from different perspectives, from historical, theological, exegetical, and impressed by my colleagues' expertise in this issue of Luther's interpretation of Old Testament and with his specialty in understanding Judaism and Jewish theology and hermeneutics, I felt that our expertises complement each other very, very much. So that's how it started, from the classroom, really, that we were teaching together and felt that our research interest also coincided.
Right, yeah, it actually started with two research seminars that we team taught together here at the seminary. So we did that on two consecutive years, and then on the basis of our preparation and conversations in those two seminars, we decided then to go ahead with this book.
Could I also ask whether the input of the students or the questions from the students had an influence on your seeing the need for such a text?
Very clearly, because it became clear to us how much interest the students had in the question itself, and were trying to dig deeper into the subject and find some reliable information and data. And the fact that there was so much energy coming from the students really gave us the impetus to go forward with it.
Okay. Well, in that line, and you mentioned you found a need for such a textbook. What might have been the difficulties, if any, that emerged as you tackle this project? Any difficulties in the research or in the writing?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the greatest difficulty is simply the massiveness of the corpus of Luther's writings. Luther's collected works are comprise about 100 very large volumes in the official edition of his works, and so then trying to find an adequate selection to draw out an adequate selection from this massive corpus, I think was the largest task, because we can only do so much, obviously.
Which begs me to ask, how did you go about finding these texts? I mean, because there's just a massive amount of information, how did you go about reading or get going through all of the probable sources for his take on the Jews?
Maybe I'd preface that before I ask Dr. Schramm to talk about this. His understanding of the Old Testament, Dr. Schramm's understanding of the Old Testament, and paying attention to Luther's discussion with the Jewish tradition, it was his eye to the detail and then do the whole that gave us the compass. So I really give full credit to my colleague in identifying the text and then beginning to see that it's not just two or three or five texts that are relevant to the topic, but throughout the corpus, and he was able to navigate. So I'd like you to talk about that, and how did you come to find those texts?
Yeah, we made a decision to focus not exclusively, but primarily on Luther's exegetical writings on the Old Testament itself.
Okay.
Because we're convinced that Luther's debates with the Jews, and particularly with Jewish thinkers and writers, is really anchored in the question of the proper interpretation of Old Testament texts. And so Luther wrote all kinds of things about all kinds of things, but we decided to focus heavily on the specifically Old Testament materials, and so that gave us a lens to sift the material and make decisions on that basis.
Okay, and now we have American editions of Luther's works. And but the text that as I went through your volume, now you've identified 25 texts. Were they all from the Luther edition, American edition of Luther, or
the overwhelming majority were, and that was a decision that was made with Fortress Press.
Okay.
In terms of our target audience and making material accessible to people.
Okay.
So the majority of materials we used were taken from the American edition of Luther's works, with some annotations, but a couple of the texts we translated ourselves because they were not in the current American edition of Luther's works.
And our thinking was that our book would allow people to read for themselves, and that the book would be the compass for the reader to find texts that then would lead them to read more of Luther. And
okay.
That's why we used the Luther's work, American edition, so people can read more after they are inspired to read more, rather than us referring to German and Latin sources that are not that easily available necessarily.
And that's an important point, because the idea behind a reader is not for the reader to replace the original works themselves, but rather to introduce the student and encourage the student then to go deeper for themselves.
Right. I must admit for our listening audience that when I started reading your pieces in there, it made me want to read more.
Mm-hmm.
And read more about Luther and the Jews. So that was exciting for me.
But I'd like to add also what we did is that we added new introductions and brief comments with each text that are not necessarily in Luther's works. Volume. Oh. So we highlighted texts and points and details that otherwise might be overlooked by the reader who is not looking for these texts. So our brief introductions. And that was the hardest part, to do everything brief for a reader. You don't have the luxury to write 1,000 pages. But we hope that because of the brevity of the text, that the students, that it holds people's attention more and allows people to relatively quickly to get a massive amount of information in their system, and then, most importantly, be able to think for themselves what are they going to do with that information that they just absorbed.
Yeah.
And that was a big decision for us early on, that do we want to write a book where we write an interpretation or kind of an argument about what Luther said about the Jews,
right,
and what everybody should think about that, and what is the problem and what is the solution. And after much thinking and discussion with the publisher, we decided that it is better for us to use our expertise to direct people to the sources and frame questions, so that then people really can continue to wrestle with this very difficult issue for themselves and with those with whom they dwell, rather than us asking people to believe what we think the so-called truth is.
Exactly.
Because
yeah.
That was kind of the whole point. Who has the truth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think we are very happy with that decision.
Yes, I agree with you. And again, the idea was to allow Luther to speak for himself on this issue, and so that we lead lead the readers into the question and into Luther, but then allow him to speak for himself.
Okay. Now, on that note, Brooks, you mentioned Luther's treatment of the Jews was based on his interpretation of the biblical text.
Yeah,
for my question is, as I pondered that, I was wondering whether that has influenced how the anti-Jewish sentiments that have emerged over the years.
Yeah, the history of Christian anti-Judaism is long and it's complex and it has many different facets to it. Some of it was culturally based antagonism. Some of it was socially based antagonism. Some of it was religiously based antagonism. But we're convinced, and we come away from the project even more convinced, that for Luther, his issue with the Jews and Judaism was not a cultural issue, and it wasn't necessarily a political issue or a social issue, but it was really anchored in the arguments about the proper interpretation of Old Testament texts. That's really where things resided for Luther. And one of the things that people normally do not appreciate about Luther is the fact that his central task in life was, as a university professor, was to lecture on the Bible.
And, and specifically as an Old Testament scholar.
Specifically as an Old Testament scholar. Yes, that's the Old Testament was the center, the heart and soul of his life's work, his professional work.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that emerges from your writing, and I'm going to address this to Curtis again, and that is, how would you describe the power of the printed word in the formation of this continuing anti-Jewish feeling that comes from Luther's time?
I always tell my students that imagine if Luther had the World Wide Web and laptop. He didn't, but he did have a printing press. And for fortunately and unfortunately, he used that power that printed word has. Sorry. And I think that with this issue of Luther and the Jews, because he wrote so profusely, mm-hmm. and because so eagerly people read what he wrote, that there is this illusion that his views about Jews were somehow worse or more magnified than others.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Because this illusion, because his word is out there.
Right.
So he seems like a bigger figure in this regard than he in actuality perhaps was in comparison.
Or a more unique figure than he actually was.
Yeah, that, because he had the power of the word, his words of course had more influence, mm-hmm. but also then looking at his colleagues of the same time, very similar arguments are made and similar fears are expressed and attitudes are expressed towards the Jews. So the media always creates an illusion, I think. And it was the same also in the 16th century.
That's interesting to note. The other thing that I'd like to ask, and I address to you, Brooks, and that is, we hear about Luther's anti-Pope, anti-Turk, anti-Jewish, but there's a subcategory that I read, and when you talk about the role of the rabbi,
yeah,
and that to me was an interesting take. Could you share something about the role of the rabbi, or as Luther saw the rabbi?
Yeah, I think that it's important to distinguish those two things: what the rabbis actually were, and what they did, and what Luther thought they were, and what
Right.
he thought they did. But the question you ask is a great one, because the rabbis are a particular target of Luther's antagonism. And it, from Luther's perspective, and he writes this on numerous occasions, Luther holds the rabbis responsible or culpable, if you will, for preventing other Jews from perceiving the truth of the Old Testament itself. So Luther regards the rabbis as an impediment to the spread of the gospel. And so he views them antagonistically, and rather consistently so in that regard.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And he will, you know, he will often distinguish the rabbis from, you know, the common Jewish people in that regard.
Okay. Thank you. The other piece, and I'm going to address this to you, Kirstie, and that is that you have a section in your book called The Fragile Communities. And I looked at that title and read that section, but could you share and describe what you mean by the term for our listening audience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we divided the duties, we decided that I will explore the area that was less known to me, and that is the history of Jewish people in Europe. And as I was exploring that tragic history, I was saddened by the evidence that showed how vulnerable the Jewish communities always have been in a so-called Christian world, where they have been the other, considered the enemy, or the suspicious other, who often is the scapegoat for whatever goes wrong, whether it's a weather, famine, plague, murdered children found in the woods. With the fragility, the word fragility well describes a way of living for groups of people who never know if they have a home, where their home is today, whether they still have a home there tomorrow, because Christian neighbors' attitudes could change overnight. Rulers' attitudes could change overnight. Very often, political or monetary gains were factors in expulsing Jews, often with very little warning. So it seems that over the centuries, Jews have always been told to leave, or they have had to leave. Mm-hmm. And there's this kind of movement from place to place, and there's fragility in movement when you don't have roots, and kind of the protection that you have when you build a fortress and you stay there through centuries. Mm-hmm. So the fragility has to do with not knowing if there's future, if there's tomorrow. And then at the same time, finding that there's great tenacity in that. And maybe the biggest discovery for me was, as we're looking at the official records and the books written by the people like Martin Luther and those who write the story from the perspective of those who ruled and
yes.
Who win the wars, then there's the other story, the undercurrent, and the reality when you hear about ordinary people, ordinary Jewish individuals who have friends in Christians, and ordinary Christian persons who have friends in Jewish community. You learn about the other stories that are the real stories of the individuals, where there are friendships and there's support and there are marriages and there is dancing in the wedding together. And that's the reality that Luther didn't have, by the way. He didn't know any Jewish people. He didn't have that reality
face-to-face encounter.
Yeah, reality of joys with actual Jewish people. So for him, Jews were always something of a theoretical nature. But anyway, what I'm getting to this point is that the other story is with these fragile Jewish communities, then there are those less fragile stories where actual people form friendships and support each other, and you read about the Christian authors such as Osiander, mm-hmm. who defend the Jews and who don't want any ill towards them. So those moments strengthen these fragile communities.
Right.
So there's like two stories overlapping or intertwined. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the word fragility to me is like, it's hard to put the pieces together. It's just when you build paint a picture of how was the Jewish life in the 16th century, then you find another piece of evidence that fragments that image altogether, because what I just read is not true. Does it make sense?
Very much so. Very much so. I like to ask, after all of this research and writing, how have your views of Luther and the Jews changed, or have since the writing?
Yeah, that's an important question. I don't think that our views have changed as such, mm-hmm. but I think we have become through the research and writing process, and then continuing to reflect on that. Having done the work and getting feedback from other scholars in the field, that I think we've become more and more convinced that we're on the right track in pursuing pursuing this question from the angle from which we have pursued it. And we're convinced that the question of the Jew in Luther's thought is not a marginal issue, but it's one of these core issues in the way in which he thinks about God, the way he thinks about the world, the way he thinks about the Bible, and so forth. So we still have lots of energy to continue to work on this topic, and look forward to doing so.
Well, I hope that is the case. I look forward to your next volume in this important area. I can't believe that our time has run out already, but I've been talking with Dr. Brooke Schramm and Dr. Kirsi Sterna about their book, Martin Luther, The Bible and the Jewish People, A Reader. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us today.
Thank you very much, Nelson.
For the Seminary Explorers, this is Nelson Strobert. Have a good day.
You've been listening to The Seminary Explorers from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of the Lutheran Theological Seminary at Gettysburg. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. All opinions expressed on this program are those of the individual speakers and are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.